Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Big Ten Conference Men's Basketball Coaches Teleconference. As a reminder, this call is being recorded today on Monday, March 11th, 2019. At this time, I would like to introduce your moderator for the teleconference, Big Ten Assistant Commissioner Jason Yellen.
Thank you. I'd like to thank all of the media for joining us today and ask that you interact respectfully with all the coaches throughout this call. I would also ask to like our media to limit their follow-up questions to one per person. If time permits, please queue in for additional questions. As a reminder, audio of today's call will be made available on the Big Ten's website, bigten.org. The first coach on the teleconference is Indiana's Archie Miller. Indiana is the number 9 seed in the upcoming tournament and begins play on Thursday against number 8, Ohio State. Coach Miller, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you please start us off with a brief opening thought about your season thus far, and then we'll take questions from the media.
Well, yeah, we just obviously had a really good week for our team playing against, two teams that have, really, really improved throughout the course of the season and made our league as deep, if not the deepest league in the country, in Illinois and Rutgers. And, I thought our guys did a really nice job this week of just staying in the moment and continuing to just kind of focus on the daily approach, which is sort of how we had to navigate, obviously a very, very tough January and February. But to their credit, our attitude is great. And, we're playing a lot like, maybe our staff thought we could envision us playing, our best basketball at some point in time. And, we have a good vibe, and we're really excited to go to Chicago. The Big Ten tournament should be, something that, is probably going to be one of the most entertaining competitive tournaments in the country, just due to the fact that I know sort of how the teams from the top to the bottom are playing right now. There's very few teams that aren't capable of winning multiple games. So I'll leave it at that.
If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star 1. Your first question is from Adam Jardy, Columbus Dispatch.
Hi, Archie. I just wonder, as you prepare for Ohio State now, they've obviously not had Caleb Wesson for the last 3 games. What Ohio State team are you preparing for, and how much time do you spend wondering or worrying if he's going to play?
He's going to play, and we just assume we'll prep for him having him there. And, if he's not there, obviously, that is what it is. But we'll prepare to have him there. We had a fight the last time that we played them in our place, and they were able to come out on top, made some real key plays late, and I thought it was a really, really tough game to play in, and I expect the same thing. They're a very, very good team. When you take a player that caliber off the floor, things obviously change. We've dealt with it all season long. One guy can make the world a difference, and he's obviously a very big cog, but they're terrific on defense. They're an NCAA tournament team, and at the end of the day, for us, we just have to continue to prepare, get better, and find a way to keep playing as well as we can.
What has been the key for your team to handle when you've lost key guys for extended periods of time? What has been the key for you to find a way to rally the troops late and end the season the way you have?
Well, I think the big thing is just focusing in on our attitude. So many times when you go ups and downs, the attitudes are masked by winning. When you're losing, everything stands out. And for us to be able to find a way to make the best out of our situation was to really correct our attitude, as a team. And part of that starts with the staff being, willing to, embrace guys and make them better and challenge them. At the same time, you can't, really, at the end of the day, you really can't have any slippage in certain areas when you don't have a whole lot of room for error. And I think we got some guys right now with great attitudes again. And our practice habits have been as good as any here in our last 3 or 4 weeks. And that's why we've gotten better, played very competitively against anyone that we've played with. And I think at the end of the day, 1 win or 2 wins, as everyone knows in this business, it sort of lifts the cloud over you and you feel a little bit better. And, for our guys to be able to experience some wins here down the stretch through some of the just really, really tough games that we've played in that could have went either way is just a good thing. Confidence is such an amazing thing to watch it come and go. And I think our team right now has as much confidence as we've had all season in each other.
Thank you.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number 1. Your next question is from Dylan Sin, Fort Wayne Gazette.
Hey, Coach. I was just wondering, is this kind of the team that you envisioned having at the beginning of the season? Is this the way that you wanted to play? And is it nice to finally see that here at the end of the year that you're playing the way that you kind of envisioned?
Yeah, you know, I think every coach probably sets out at the start of the season, and you say to yourself, you know, we have the ability to, you know, do A, B, and C. And for us, it was going to be a mesh of a lot of new guys, five freshmen and a grad transfer with our second-year returners, one senior, two seniors being, you know, really Zach and Juwan, and then obviously our other guys being, you know, sophomores and juniors. You know, how do we mesh these guys? But I think in the front end, we thought we had a deeper team. I think we had a group that we felt like we could play really hard and play a lot of different types of combinations of people. And, you know, that got derailed from day one. You know, we've had season-ending injuries. We've had concussions. We've had suspensions. We've had a lot of things where it just hasn't been able to get that, that chemistry. And the big part of it was just having four or five guys out of practice for months. And the wear and tear of our depth just wasn't there. And, you know, last 3 or 4 weeks, Race Thompson's come back. You know, to his credit, what an incredible story it's been for him to be able to help us at the end of the year. You know, Duran missing most of January, you know, really hurt us. He's back. All of a sudden, you know, you have another guy in there. And then, you know, you're able to get McRoberts in there a little bit more in practice, who hasn't practiced very much. So we just became a deeper team here late, and we had some more guys, I think, that were, you know, getting in the game, which helps your morale a little bit. But without question, if you watched us play here in the last 3 or 4 weeks, you'd say that team right there is playing hard. You know, they look like a good team, you know. And, you know, at the end of the year, that's all you hope for. You make the best out of everything. A negative can always be made into a positive. And some of what we've gone through, you know, has made us a tougher group. It's made us a more together group. And, you know, when guys want to come to the building and work out and practice and get extra lifts in, you know, you're doing something right as a unit. You know, you're feeling good about your situation. So that's where we're at, and hopefully it carries over a little bit more here.
Thanks,
Coach. We'll take one final question for Coach.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And your next question is from Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star.
Coach, you talked about it there a little bit with Ohio State, but it's been right at about a month since you've played them. As you start to look at them beyond just sort of Caleb West and whether he's in or out, what's maybe different about their approach, their team? What are you going to have to tweak as you kind of prep for them Thursday?
You know, we have to kind of dive in. I mean, you're immersed with your current deal, and, you know, we obviously just finished yesterday, as they did. So I'm sure we're all regrouping and trying to figure out what's happened in the last month. And, you know, obviously not having Caleb play in the last three games is a disadvantage to them. They're not the same team. You know, we're preparing, obviously, for him to play. So we look back on our first game and then sort of when he was playing since our game to see what they're doing and what they did. The big thing is, you know, each team kind of prepares to play against the other team in a certain way. And I think that, you know, those guys chose, you know, our first game to, you know, really pack the paint, defend certain guys. They trapped the post. They did a great job there. And we just had a really hard time scoring the ball in that game. It was very difficult. We ended up making a couple shots late, which gave us a little bit of breathing room. But, you know, give them credit. They finished the game better than we did. And, you know, us defensively, we're going to have to be a lot better than we've been in our last two games. You know, I think it's just evaluating yourself. Our last couple games defensively, we haven't been as tough, and we're going to have to really, really be better in a couple areas as we go to Chicago. So we'll focus on ourselves on that. But, you know, the big thing for us is, you know, when you're playing a team like that is you're going to have to be a tough-minded group. You know, you can't give up second shots, and you can't get rattled, you know, through the course of the game if you're not scoring. They're a great defensive team. You have to be able to hang your hat on staying with it and kind of doing the next thing. But we're obviously going to have to really dig in and look at game one, and we're going to have to really dig in and see, you know, how they've obviously progressed since we played them. You know, we're a different team than we were the day we played them, and I'm sure they're different in many ways. But the current state of our group, I think we're excited to play. That's the one positive.
Thanks.
Yep. Hello?
Coach Miller, thank you for joining us, and good luck this week.
All right, thank you.
The next coach in the teleconference will be Iowa's Fran McCaffrey. The Hawkeyes earn the number 6 seed in the upcoming Big Ten men's basketball tournament and will take on the winner of the number 14 Northwestern versus number 11 Illinois in the second game of the evening session on Thursday. Coach McCaffrey, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Please start us off with a brief opening statement about your season thus far, and we'll take questions from the media following that.
It's been a good season for us. Pleased with what we've accomplished. We've had some ups and downs. Just excited about getting started this week.
Great. Thank you, and we will take questions from the media now.
If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star 1. And your first question is from John Tattel, Hoops.com.
Good morning, Coach. Just wanted to get a sense of the mood of the team. Obviously, you'd want to be entering on a winning streak. You enter, I believe, losing your last 4 in a row. What's the mood of the team like?
I think anxious to have a fresh start and looking forward to a great opportunity in Chicago.
And again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number 1. Your next question is from Adam Jardy, Columbus Dispatch.
Hi, Fran. I'm just wondering how you've seen your team, especially these last 3 games, adapt to obviously not having you and then having you back for the last game. How have you seen your team handle the roller coaster that I'm sure comes with something like that?
I think they handled it extremely well. I thought my staff had everybody well prepared. I was involved, as you know, practices, film sessions, et cetera. So I was around for everything but the actual game itself. So I thought, obviously, we didn't win them, but I thought we played much better yesterday, which was great. And, I think we'll play much better this week.
And I'm sure you've talked about this with local media, but how hard was it to watch your team and not be able to coach them? Did you watch with family? How did you take in those games that you weren't able to coach?
Well, the game at home, I watched with Gary Dolphin. And then on the road, I was by myself. I went with the team to Madison.
And what was that challenge like of I'm sure yelling at the TV, but not being able to talk to your players? How hard was that?
No, I don't think it was that. I mean, it was, just thinking like I would be if I was on the bench and, looking at my staff and saying, okay, what buttons are you pushing? And I thought that, we didn't play well in either of those games. And I thought that they did a really good job of, changing things up and trying different things. And I thought they were positive and did a good job.
Thank you.
Yep.
Again, if you have a question, simply press star, then the number 1. Your next question is from Casey Campbell, Great Lakes Post.
Hey, Fran, how are you?
Good.
My apologies if this question has been asked, but what kind of player is Jordan? How has he grown this year from last year?
I think it's just a matter of him being 1 year older. I mean, he's been a starter for us for 3 years. He did amazing things as a freshman, did amazing things last year. Obviously, we had a losing record last year. We had a winning record this year. That's probably what you're referring to. I think his ability to lead and help us in particular in close games, because as you know, in this league, there's a lot of close games. We've lost some. We've won some. So, he's been right in the middle of that. I think as a veteran point guard, he settles everybody down and gets everybody involved and just seemingly has the ability to make huge shots when we need it. So, I think he's proven he's not only one of the best players in our league, but one of the best players in the country.
And Luca Garza has been impressive this year as well. How have you seen him grow?
Well, with him, it's a little different. He had a really good freshman year, but he's been a real focal point of what we're trying to do offensively. He's a tremendous offensive player, great on the glass. At 25 yesterday was phenomenal. and incredible worker. I had to overcome a badly sprained ankle, was out for about a month, but came back strong. And, yeah, I'm really excited about him.
All right, Fran, good luck in the tournament.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yep.
We'll take one final question from the media for Coach McCaffrey.
It's from Andrew Kahn with MLive.
Coach, could you just give me some insight into how scouting works when you're in the position you're in? I mean, you've got two teams you could potentially play, but then with just one day turnaround before your next one, are you already doing some, you know, film prep on Michigan?
Well, I think it's fairly commonplace. You know, whatever assistant coach was assigned to that team will prepare for that team. So one of my assistants will have each of the first two teams in the first game and then the next game and then the next game after that. So we'll have plenty of tape watched. As far as what I'm going to do and what we're going to show to the team, we're going to concentrate on ourselves until we know who we're going to play. But the game prep will be done by the staff. We'll have plenty of film ready for them to watch. We'll have the opportunity to watch the first game and kind of see who wins, see how that game goes. And, you know, in practice, you know, you might have some things in preparation for both teams, you know, on Tuesday that you might play. That's about it.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Coach McCaffrey, thank you, and good luck this week.
Hey, thanks so much. Thank you.
The next coach in the teleconference is Minnesota's Richard Pitino. The Gophers earn the number 7 seed in the upcoming Big Ten men's basketball tournament. Minnesota will take on number 10 seed Penn State on Thursday at 6 o'clock Central Time. Coach Pitino, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Doing great.
All right. Can you give us a brief opening statement about your team thus far this season, and then we'll open it up to the media for questions.
Well, obviously, you know, excited about the Big Ten tournament. You know, losing some key guys from last year, starting two freshmen for the majority of the year, and Eric Curry in and out of injury and unfortunately done for the season. You know, with what Dupree's gone through with his mother, I think that these guys have handled adversity well. Had some really, really good wins, you know, and a really, really tough strength of schedule. You know, and you look at what we've been able to do in the league, playing teams at the top twice at Michigan State. We've had a very hard schedule, so our guys have handled it well and still got a lot of things we can get better at going into the tournament.
Thank you.
If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star 1. And your first question is from Casey Campbell, Great Lakes Post.
Hey, Richard, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing good. Just what improvements have you seen out of your team this season so far? What's the biggest thing that you've seen this year?
I think defensively we've gotten better. You know, I think there's been really good progress there. You know, we've become pretty solid across the board with everything we've done defensively. And offensively, we've improved because we stopped turning the ball over. We weren't great versus Maryland, but I think overall turnovers went down. And I just think from day one, I've always thought with this team we're solid across the board. You know, and I think we've shown that, you know, ran into a very good Maryland team. But fundamentally sound, I think we're pretty good at about just about everything.
And how, with the loss of Curry, how did it, what did that do to this team? Did it, how much losing Curry, did it motivate them?
Well, we lost him right before probably one of the biggest games of the year in Purdue at home on senior night. And there was so much emotion of everything. And we knew, obviously, that he was hurt. We weren't sure what the extent of it was. And we found out right before shoot-around. So, you know, you got guys like Mott Stockman and Jarvis Amersa. All of a sudden, they're thrown into the, you know, rotation where they hadn't been playing a whole lot. And, you know, it's inspiring for anybody when you see guys – step up when their number is called. And I thought Mots clearly versus Purdue did that. So it was a big blow. We're better with Eric, much better with Eric, and it's unfortunate, but other guys have been able to take advantage of it.
All right, Coach, thank you. Good luck in the tournament.
Thank you.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from Andy Grater, St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Morning, Coach. I wanted to ask you about Gabe and Daniel. They've kind of cooled off in the last couple of games. How do you try to fight against maybe them hitting a freshman wall as you guys enter postseason?
Well, I thought Daniel, 7 points, 11 rebounds, pretty good versus Maryland, especially with that front court. I thought he did some good things.
Okay.
Gabe does a lot of little things that may not show up on a box score. But it's a matter of, when you shoot the ball like he does, you're going to get scouted. So what do you do besides that, on the offensive end of it, to get yourself some shots and, find ways to get open and do those things. So that's a learning experience for Gabe. It's moving without the ball, cutting without the ball. It's for everybody, though, paint touches, getting in there, kicking it back out. I think everybody can improve on that to be able to get Gabe some more open shots.
Thanks, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from Sam Ekstrom, Zone Coverage.
Hey, Coach. In a tournament of this nature where you have to win three or four games in a, 3 or 4 day stretch, what is something consistently that you see, the teams have to do to make a run? Is it get a hot player? Is it defend really well? What do you think needs to be the theme for a run in this tourney?
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to say exactly. It does seem like from time to time, especially in these conference tournaments, you get somebody who just really, really elevates the level of play. Obviously, the one guy that everybody always looks to is Kemba Walker back at UConn. But for us, it's just a matter of locking in on Penn State, seeing if we can get the job done there and then moving on. I mean, I love this time of year. Conference tournaments are so much fun to be a part of. So for us, it's just a matter of playing our game and doing it well.
Coach, we appreciate your time and good luck in the tournament this week.
Thank you.
The next coach on the teleconference is Northwestern's Chris Collins. The Wildcats earn the number 14th seed in the upcoming tournament. Northwestern will play number 11th seed Illinois on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. Good morning, Coach Collins, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning.
Can you start us off with a brief statement about your team heading into the tournament, and then we'll open it up to calls from the media?
Sure. We, the guys are excited about heading into the Big Ten tournament, being local here in Chicago in the United Center. It's going to be a great venue for the conference tournament. Obviously, it's a fresh start for every team. And, for us, it's great because we've had our struggles the past couple of weeks, although I do feel we've played better. In our past few games, we were able to get a win here in the last week over Ohio State. I thought we were very competitive in the Purdue game against a team that, shared the conference championship. So our guys are upbeat. Their attitudes have been great, and I think they're excited about the opportunity to play Wednesday night against an Illinois team that everyone knows has gotten better as the year has gone on. They have a tremendous amount of good young talent that that has proven themselves over the course of the conference to be capable of beating anybody. So we know we're going to have our hands full, and our guys are looking forward to the challenge.
If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star one. And your first question is from Casey Campbell, Great Lakes Post.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Chris, I wanted to ask you about how do you keep the positivity? How do you keep the momentum up when you're struggling, when you're
on the streak that you guys were on. How do you keep the faith?
Yeah, no, it's not easy. You know, all these teams, I talk about it all the time, all these teams, all these players, they invest so much into this, you know, the time, the work they put in, and you want to see your players rewarded with the taste of winning. And, you know, we had a 10-game stretch where you know, we didn't get to taste that winning. And we were fighting, we were battling, competing, we just couldn't get over the hump. And, you know, I really appreciate the leadership and the attitudes of our seniors in particular, because they set the tone. You know, it could have been very easy for those guys to, as things were going the other direction, you know, to not stay upbeat, to not stay enthusiastic, to not want to keep fighting. But they did the opposite, and we've really relied on those guys, the character that they've shown, particularly our captains, Vic Law, Derek Pardon, Jordan Ash. Those guys have really set a tone of continuing to come every day. Let's work hard. Let's prepare for the next game. Let's have a fresh attitude. And that's why I was really happy for those guys to be able to play well and get a big win over Ohio State in the midweek, just so they could get that feeling again. You know, no matter what, you gotta taste winning so you can, you know, everybody smiles a little bigger. There's a little bit extra bounce to your step, and hopefully that'll give us a little bit more momentum heading into Wednesday night.
Chris, you're playing Illinois in the state of Illinois in Chicago. It doesn't get any better than this. How big is this game? Not for just Northwestern, not for just Illinois, but for the entire state.
Well, I'm sure if you ask Brad too, both of us wish the game wasn't on Wednesday night. You know, we wish it was on Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Then it would be really big. But, you know, I think we're both trying to get our programs in a position where you know, the local fan bases, the people in this state, we have such a great basketball state. It's people who love the game. They love you know, high quality basketball, and you know, I think both of us are working hard to try to create that. You know, we've had some success the past couple of years. You see them coming on the way they have this year, and with some great young talent. So, you know, I think it's going to be fun for the fans. I think it's going to be fun for the programs. Again, I wish it wasn't on Wednesday night, but it is what it is. It's where we're both at right now. And, you know, I know both teams are going to compete incredibly hard, and we've already played these guys twice and had two hard fought games. And I don't expect it to be any different on Wednesday night.
All right, Chris, good luck in the tournament.
Thank you very much.
Again, if you have a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from Paul Banks, Sports Bank.
Hey, Coach, how's it going?
Hey, Paul, what's up, man?
Doing good. I wanted to see if you could give us another update on Vic Law, and then also just how is his mood generally after what happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, I felt terrible, you know, for him to not be able to finish out his last home game. I thought he was playing well. You know, the game was very competitive, and it was a high-level game with especially everything on the line that Purdue had. So, you know, to have a senior that has meant so much to our program not be able to finish it the right way, you know, was heartbreaking to me. The good news is, you know, there wasn't any serious damage that was done with the injury, which was good. You know, it was scary looking at the time, and there was an open wound on his shin, and I think we were all a little bit nervous, you know, to see what exactly was wrong because he was in so much pain. But, you know, really just had a considerable gash on his leg that had to be, you know, sewn up, and, you know, and he's really sore, obviously, when you have a, you know, that kind of impact to your shin bone. If any of you have been hit in that area, you know it's going to be very sore. But there's no long-term damage, which is great for him, for his future. He is in pain right now. He's pretty sore, as everybody can imagine. And we're hoping with treatment and a couple days that he'll be ready to go Wednesday night, but nothing is given. You know, I would still say he's very much questionable for the game.
And what are some of the ways you've seen him really grow and develop since you first recruited him from St. Rita, from South Holland?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone knows he was the first guy, you know, to kind of start our program with me here being the coach. He was the first guy to believe and to commit. And, he spearheaded an amazing class that came in, four guys that three of which became 1,000 point scorers and all league guys. And he was the catalyst to all that. And for him to be here, I've seen him grow as a player. He's had an outstanding career. He's very versatile on both ends of the court. He's gotten better in a lot of ways, but also just his leadership. You know, I give him so much credit this year with the way our roster was. You know, he was asked to kind of do things that he's never had to do before. You know, he's for a lot of intensive purposes, he was our point guard all year, you know, and that's really, he's always been a wing. He's always run the floor. He's always come off screens. And, you know, we asked him to be a primary playmaker for us this year, and he did it with a great attitude. He did his best. And, you know, he's always had a great attitude every step of the way. So really been an honor to coach him and watch him grow and become the man he's become in addition to the player. And, you know, I'm hoping, keeping my fingers crossed, that he can get a chance to have one last hurrah here at the United Center at home here in Chicago in the Big Ten tournament.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck this week.
All right, thank you.
We can take one final question for Coach Collins.
And again, if you have a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from James Hawkins, the Detroit News.
Hey, Chris, with the protected rivalries this season, I guess moving forward, do you think it would be a good idea if one of your rivalry games would always kind of end the season with UNO Illinois, and then with all the other rivalries with Michigan State and Purdue, Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's one thing we talked about in our coaches' meetings was, you know, some of the in-state rivalries, being sure that we got to play those games twice, you know, and it's something I know Brad and I really wanted to do here. And I think what you said would be a great idea. You know, for me, for 17 years, I was a part of Duke Carolina, and you always kind of knew that was, you know, the last game of the season, you know, was going to be your rival game. You know, I thought it always brought a lot of intrigue and excitement, just with everybody kind of getting in the mood of college basketball this time of year. So, you know, I would be all for that. I think it's a great thing. And you saw it on Saturday night with Michigan State, you know, with the conference being on the line, the rivalry game. I think it definitely adds to everything. And I would love to see that happen in the future.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Coach, thanks for joining us, and good luck this week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
The next coach on the teleconference is Maryland's Mark Turgeon. The Terrapins are in the number 5 seed in the upcoming tournament. Maryland will play the winner of number 13 Nebraska and number 12 Rutgers in the second game of the first session on Thursday. Coach Turgeon, good morning, and thanks for joining us. Coach, do we have you on?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. We'll go straight to questions for Coach Turgeon.
Okay.
To ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one. And your first question is from Don Marcus, Baltimore Sun.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Okay. In terms of having a team, a young team with so many new players going into a Big Ten tournament like this, is that, do you try not to make it too big, or do you try to, you know, make sure they understand the sense of urgency and, you know, how important it is to get through at least that first game?
Well, no, you know, I just think it's good for us to, I think the Big Ten, the way we run the tournament, is they run it like the NCAA tournament, and it'd be great preparation for the following week. Our guys, we're so young, sometimes our guys are naive, which is good. They'll go in and just play. But no, we'll talk about it. What we want to do is just continue to get better. And we felt like we played well against Minnesota. We made some strides. We thought we played well against Michigan. We just weren't good enough to beat them. You know, just tightening some things up as we go into this conference tournament. And we'll be excited for it, you know. So I know our guys are looking forward to it. We had a healthy practice last night. Attitudes were good. And I know our guys are looking forward to getting to Chicago.
Yeah, just about, and just to follow up, in terms of last 2 years, obviously things have not gone well in the tournament. As a coach, are you able to sort of put that aside and that's another year, or do you put in more pressure on yourself?
No. Every year is different. You know, we made it to the semis, I think, the first 2 years, maybe the first 3 years, I can't remember. No, we lost. The first 2 years we made semis. We lost the first round, you see, to Northwestern. It was playing really well at the time, and we weren't type thing. And then last year, it was just it's who we were. So it's a different season. You go in, everything's different. Depends who you're playing, when you're playing them, if they're hot or not, that type of thing. But we just want to – the tournament experience is what we're looking forward to, you know, being in a great city. You know, so now what happened last year, the year before that, has nothing to do with this team.
Thanks.
Yep.
Your next question is from Patrick Donahue, Rivals.com.
Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, Patrick.
So obviously, you know, on its face, a 4 seed is better than a 5 seed, and a goal of any team is to get that sort of double bye. But does part of you feel as though, you know, with the young team that you have, playing that extra game, maybe being able to carry the momentum over from the other night's win sooner might help your team and actually play to their advantage?
I hope so. That's the way I'm looking at it. That's the way we're approaching it. And I think the more tournament experience we can get, I think that's what Don was getting at, hopefully try to get that first win, which won't be easy. You know, this league is tremendous. And there's no easy wins out there. So, but I agree with that. Yeah, we get on the floor a little bit earlier, get a little bit more experience. We played on Friday, you know, waiting all the way to next Friday might have been tough. So it's one less day, you know, to wait. So I know I look at it as an advantage. I really do. And we're approaching it that way, and hopefully it'll work out that way for us.
Your next question is from Andrew Kahn, MLive.
This is a quick thing following up on what you said earlier. You said the Big Ten runs its tournament like the NCAA tournament. What did you mean by that exactly?
Oh, just the way the practice times, you're playing in a big-time arena, the way they handle the media, all the media obligations and, you know, hotels are separate and all that kind of stuff. It's just run like it's – which prepares you, you know, to get the bright lights and all that stuff. So I think that's important because then the guys will feel more comfortable the next week, even though it's a big step, you know, from tournaments. But it's run that way, and our guys will be more comfortable, especially all the new guys, when we do get to the NCAA tournament the next week, just because of the way the Big Ten runs their tournament.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Your next question is from John Tattel, Hoops.com.
Good morning, Coach. It seems like Jalen had arguably his best all-around game of the season last week in the win over Minnesota. Can you talk about how it seemed like he was kind of at least not having a great statistical performances in the middle of February, but how he's bounced back as the seasons wore on? And are you going to let a 29% three-point shooter keep shooting threes as long as he keeps making them?
Yeah, I'm proud of Jalen. He you know, a lot of expectations on him coming in. Had to play a little bit out of position. He was kind of a center in high school. He shot threes in high school too, but he was always the biggest guy on the floor. And having to play with Bruno was a big adjustment. Having to guard guards was a big adjustment. Getting used to playing the way we play was an adjustment. I think he just kept adapting to it. He had some good games early, and it was in and out of it. But what he's done is he's just learned how to work a little bit harder, getting some extra weight workouts in, just different things. He's gotten a lot tougher. And then hopefully that, you know, the game the other night is going to give him confidence. He's a really good three-point shooter that hadn't shot the ball as well because he hasn't gotten a lot of rhythm with it. And I think that, you know, hopefully the other night gives him confidence. But, no, we feel good about him shooting threes. It helps us space the floor when he's making them and opens things up even more for Bruno.
We'll take one final question from the media.
And your final question is from Don Marcus, Baltimore Sun.
Hey, Mark. in terms of the individual awards are going to come out tonight. In terms of, you know, the season you guys have had, Bruno obviously will get some attention, and Jalen, possibly Anthony. What does it mean to the program to have guys get, you know, whether it's first team All Big Ten or all rookie team?
Well, we'll see what happens. You never know in this world how it's going to work out. But, you know, I think Bruno is one of the most improved players in the league, and we're really proud of that, how hard he worked over the summer, you know, spring and summer and fall, and he's had a great winter. So we'll see what happens with him. Anthony's had a lot on his plate. He's our only upperclassman that's really in the rotation. He's had to, you know, do a lot of things for us. Offensively and defensively, so we'll see. He deserves it. And then this freshman class is loaded with a lot of really good players, so we'll see. Hopefully Jalen will make it. But it's a really good freshman class with a lot of really good players. So Jalen, you know, I think did some nice things, so we'll see. But those three probably in particular are the three guys that stick out for us and have done a great job for us this season.
Thanks.
Okay.
Coach, thanks for joining us, and good luck this week.
Okay, thank you.
The next coach on the call is Purdue's Matt Painter. The Boilermakers earned the number 2 seed in the upcoming tournament after clinching a share of the Big Ten championship. Purdue, which has now won a Big Ten record 24 men's basketball championships, and their second in 3 years, will open up play on Friday at 6 p.m. Coach Painter, good morning. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Great. Before we get to questions, start us off with a brief opening statement recapping your season.
Yeah, well, our guys, obviously, we had a chance to win both of our road games and be the outright champs, and Minnesota outplayed us in our first road game this past week. And then, obviously, we were able to win our game at Northwestern. I thought our guys were really focused. Now they played hard, did a lot of little things. We shot the ball a little bit better. But just proud of our guys. I think that we've been able to grow through our non-conference with some close losses to some very good teams, and really learn from it, and just slowly but surely build some confidence, and were able to not play well on the road a couple times in the second half of the season and still win games. And I think that's kind of a good trait. To have as a team when it's not all clicking for you and you're still able to win, especially on the road. Our guys have just hung in there, and each time we've been able to win, whether it's a home or away, and we were undefeated at home this year, I think it just kept building confidence because we had only one starter returning from last year, and those other guys just needed to keep getting confidence and just keep being great in their roles. And I think that's what maybe we've done and separated ourselves a little bit, that we had some guys, whether they came off the bench or started, they were really, really good in their roles and accepted them and just really sacrificed for our team to win.
If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star 1. Your first question is from Nathan Baird, Journal and Courier.
Hey, Matt. I know you've been asked a lot about the 6-5 juncture of the season and what you guys did from that point on. As a coach at that point, did you feel like, did you have to say, like, there's something I need to do differently at this point? What do you see as your role in turning that around, or was it just emphasizing the things you've been emphasizing all along until they just clicked in?
Yeah, so the same issues we have in non-conference are the same issues at times we have in conference, just not as much. You know, shot selection, taking too quick of a shot, you know, not being able to defensive rebound sometimes. Yeah, we were a much better offensive rebounding team than we were a defensive rebounding team. But it wasn't like we were getting blown out in games. Outside of the Notre Dame game, you know, we could have won, you know, all of our games, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Texas. We were right there in all those games. So, well, you know, we weren't that far away. But, yeah, we weren't giving ourselves a chance. And I think we did a better job with that. But we still had the same issues. We were just able to win a lot of close games, and that ends up being the difference.
And what did you, as a coach, learn through the course of this season? You've talked before about, you know, using kind of your collective experiences,
right,
as you go forward. Did this season teach you anything that you'll be able to use going forward?
Well, sure. You know, I thought, you know, I stuck with Grady Eifert because I thought he had a lot of substance and he played hard and, you know, he didn't take ill-advised shots. He guarded his man. He knows what we're running. He just has kind of that it factor in terms of, you know, competing and helping your team win. And then I thought Matt Harms really made, you know, some strides as we went along. Nojel Eastern played a great role for us. Ryan Klein, you know, I always considered him a starter, even though he didn't start for us in the past. I mean, he proved that, you know, he was one of the better players in our league. And then, you know, Carson Edwards, you know, comes with a lot of billing. He was an All-American as a sophomore. And then to come back, a lot of the people in the national media and talked about, like, he was going to have to do all this stuff. And really that narrative wasn't accurate. And we beat a lot of good teams when he didn't shoot well. And so it's funny how people can jump on a storyline when in reality, you know, I think Carson did a lot of things to help us win. Just the threat of having him out on the court and that presence sometimes just makes people overdo things. And he's a very aggressive, dynamic scorer and allowed us to offensive rebound better, allowed us to have better spacing and things of that nature. But, you know, you always are learning. You're always learning from your players. And I think the thing that you can take is still a team game. And we played well together and did a lot of little things to help us win close games.
Your next question is from Casey Campbell, Great Lakes Post.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Talk about Carson Edwards for a second. You know, everyone's well aware of what he can do, but what have you seen him improve on this year from last year?
You know, I would just – a lot of times people don't understand like the pressure that gets put on somebody that's first team all league the year before, you know, second team all American, you know, just his ability to be able to handle, you know, the pressures that come with being that guy. Even though he led us in scoring last year, we had a lot of guys around him, especially Isaac Haas, who got a lot of attention. You know, Vince Edwards got a lot of attention. And so people, you know, he wasn't always the top guy you had to stop to beat us before, even though he led us in scoring. You know, we had those other guys. Now he was. And so we wanted to put a lot of skill around him. Just, you know, learning to play with a different group. I think that was something for him to where he fit in to our other group. And now we were trying to kind of fit pieces around him. Just kind of that learning curve and understanding that sometimes less is more. And if he just lets things come to him, his natural ability takes over.
You know, you guys won in the Big. You guys share the Big Ten title. I mean, obviously, do you like? Would you rather share it, or would you guys like to have it all to yourself?
Well, obviously, you like to have it all to yourself, but it always, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. So, you know, we were the ones that put ourselves in position to be able to do that, and we weren't able to. So, that's where you got to give Michigan State credit in the previous year because. They lost two games and we lost three games, but they had a handful of games on the road last year where they were down and out. You know, they were down anywhere from 12 to 25 points, and they stormed back and win those games, and they showed a lot of resiliency in their team last year. And so I think any coach that would answer that, you know, coaches are greedy. You know, you never can have enough good players, and when you want to, you know, try to get there and win a championship, you want it all to yourself. But obviously Michigan State had a great year again and overcame a lot of adversity. And so it's just one of those things where, yeah, you do the best you can and then that's where you are.
All right. Hey, thanks, Matt. Good luck in the tournament.
All right. Thank you.
We'll take one final question from the media.
And your final question is from Paul Bank, Sports Bank.
Hey, Coach. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. I just wanted to follow up on some of your comments from not this past weekend, but the weekend before. You made a call to action to try and get rid of a certain fan chant. I just wanted to see if there's any progress has been made on that. I know Purdue has kind of tried to get rid of that in the past. How's that going along?
Yeah, well, we've been unsuccessful in trying to get rid of the chant through the years. And so this isn't the first time. You know, that I've, you know, talked to our student section about it. So we'll see next year. I think we have some time, obviously, here in the off season, and hopefully next year we can really make a push, you know, when the paint crew gets together and starts to get ready for the basketball season, how,
you know, this isn't representing our university the way we want it to. So I'm hopeful that'll happen, but, you know, I also understand that, you know, kids will be kids and they could still do it. So if that's the case, there's not a whole lot you can, you know, really control, you know, when it comes to something of that nature.
Thanks. Good luck with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Coach Painter, thanks for joining us and good luck this week.
All right. Thank you.
The next coach on the teleconference is Penn State's Patrick Chambers. The Nittany Lions are in the number 10 seed in the Big Ten men's basketball tournament and will take on number 7 seed Minnesota on Thursday at 6 Central. Good morning, Coach Chambers. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Coach, can you start us out with an opening statement about how your team's been playing of late, and then we'll open it up to the media for questions.
Yeah, I'm really proud of our team from where we started and how we finished. It's a credit to the players, the leadership of Lamar and Jamari and Big Johnny. They kept this team together when, man, it wasn't looking too good for us at 0-10. And we were in so many close games and so many heartbreaking losses. You could easily have, you know, gone the other way and not showed up and not continued to get better and not worked on improving and shaping our identity. And they did the opposite. They kept showing up. They kept doing everything I asked them to do. They kept competing. They kept fighting. They kept working on their habits. Film sessions were great. Weight room was great. It was a joy, even though we were 0-10. It's the hardest thing to go through as a coach. It was incredible to come back into work and see their energy level and their intent of getting better and righting the ship. And that's what we did. And it showed a lot of perseverance and a lot of resiliency. So I'm really proud of what we did. And to a few weeks ago, to put ourselves in position with a little bit of help from Indiana. So we thank Indiana for their help. I'm going to let Archie know that. But to put ourselves in that position to get a bye, I don't think many people had thought we were going to accomplish what we did. And the way Lamar Stevens played all year long, he's a warrior, an absolute warrior. How consistent he was without Tony Carr as his typical sidekick and you know, Shep Garner, Julian Moore, not the best of Mike Watkins all year long. And for him to do what he did to lead this team, just unbelievable. And then finally, Josh Reeves on senior day. Man, did he step up when we needed him most. Couldn't make shots. He made shots, played great defense all year long. And really, as a senior, just pulled us through in some difficult situations.
If you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star 1. Your first question is from Casey Campbell, Great Lakes Post.
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Casey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay, man. I wanted to ask you about, you know, in college sports, it's always good to have a very good student section. And, you know, I think it's called the Legion of Blue, if I'm correct.
Yes,
how much did they mean to this? Thank you. How much did they mean to this team?
I'll tell you what, that's a great question, and nobody's asked me that. These kids, I'm not even going to talk about in-game, because what they've done for us is given us a chance, given us more of a home court advantage than I've had in 8 years. But they go into the hub, which is where everybody eats, is kind of that food court, right? They go in there, they're in there weekly, promoting, pushing. They've done dorm storms. What they do, they're meeting in here. I, of course, we all work late. They're in here in our conference room. We open the door to them. They're in our conference room coming up with different ways to engage the other student body. They have meant so much to us. It's just incredible what they've done over the last couple years and how they've just taken control of this.
Something about you talk about Josh Reeves and, you know, and Stevens and not having Tony Carr, how much did they mean to this team without Tony?
Yeah, we had to learn. We had to relearn, retrain ourselves, reshape ourselves, create our new identity without a Tony, without a Shep. I mean, Tony was drafted. That's a lot of production. And if you watch any tape from last year, he made all the right plays down the stretch. He was just an amazing player, really gifted. So we had to learn this year with younger guards, freshmen and sophomores who've never been put in those situations or experiences before. So it was critical for Josh really to play that well in the last 4 minutes throughout the game, really. And Lamar, to be a Warrior and so consistent in everything he did for us. But we had to go through those setbacks, unfortunately. We had to go through those failures, unfortunately, to be able to be the best team that we could be by the end of the year. And we've done that. And I'll tell you one thing that this group did. Sometimes when you go through an 0-10 and there's a lot of adversity, a lot of challenges, people want to transfer. People want to point the finger. This team found each other. Instead of going outside the locker room, they stayed inside, got closer and more connected. And I think that's why you see a team that's playing at the highest of levels right now.
All right, Patrick, good luck in the tournament.
Thanks, Casey.
Your next question is from John Tattel, Hoops.com.
Good morning, Coach. When you faced the Gophers in January, you almost beat them. You had a double-digit lead on the road in the second half. Without giving away the whole defensive strategy, is it everybody on Jordan Murphy or try to limit everybody else, or what are you thinking?
You know what? I woke up this morning and I watched us. So I'm focused on us, not Murph right now. But I've said this in the past, one of my favorite players, what a big-time athlete. He dominated us in the second half with rebounds and putbacks, and he made all the winning plays. I think Richard even said to him, focus on rebounding. When you focus on rebounding, that's when you become a stud. And that's what he did in the second half, and he was good. I mean, we doubled him a little bit in the first half, and we tried in the second half, but Richard made adjustments. He moved him around. He moved him to in between the elbows, so he had some space to drive where you really can't double in the middle of the floor. That's why the coaches in this league are just phenomenal. But, you know, with the way Coffey's playing lately, I mean, he had 33, dominated the game. Again, he played well against Purdue. I mean, he's playing really well. So it's going to take a full team effort. It can't be just trying to stop one guy. That wasn't our plan yesterday. It wasn't our plan against Rutgers. But we got to play great team defense. I think in the KenPom, we're in the 20s right now. So we got to. There's things that we need to do to continue the process of getting better.
Coach Chambers, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, and good luck this week.
Hey, thanks. See you soon.
The next coach on the call is Michigan State's Tom Izzo. The Spartans earned a share of the Big Ten title and are the number one seed in the upcoming men's basketball tournament. Michigan State opens play on Friday at 11:30 in the morning and will play the winner of number 8 seed Ohio State and number 9 seed Indiana. Coach Izzo, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. I mean, we're excited about the tournament, probably like everyone else, and yet in all the years I've been in this league, and I've been in every single tournament that we've had, I'm not sure that there'll be more people, whether you're a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed, worrying about the 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 seeds like this year. It's just one of those years where there's certain teams, you know, you just had Pat on, and Penn State might be playing as well as anybody right now. It just... It's been an incredible year in our league, and it's going to make this tournament maybe as exciting a tournament as there's ever been in my years here.
If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. That's star 1. Your first question is from John Macron, Detroit Sports Podcast Network.
Tom, good morning. How are you?
Good, John. How are you?
Good. Tom, I want to ask, obviously nobody wants their key players to get injured, but were the injuries to Langford and Ward actually a blessing in disguise? Because it actually forces the team to rally around each other, refocus, and really work hard to meet your goals, including defeating Michigan twice and earning a share of the Big Ten championship. Do you think the injuries were actually a blessing in disguise this season?
Well, if I was a prophet, I'd probably say yeah, because, you know, it turned out the way it did. But, you know, especially for Josh and Nick, it hasn't been good, or Arnie, or even McQuaid for the games he missed. But, you know, it's been more difficult, I'll be honest with you, just because of the number of guys and the way we change things. But it's been more exhilarating from the standpoint of, even as a staff, we've kind of had to come up with different things and think about things differently, which I think has been healthy. But if I had my druthers, I'd have those two guys back fresh. I think the credit goes to the players for being able to adjust, and some new guys getting a little more minutes in, and old guys maybe reassessing their roles, and you know, some taking on a little bit more of a defensive role, some trying to score a little bit more. So injuries are never any fun for anybody, and yet I think we've handled them fairly well, you know, and yet one of our nemesis has been turnovers, and I think that has a little reason why.
Thanks, Tom. Good luck this week.
You're welcome.
Your next question is from Nathan Baird, Journal and Courier.
Hi, Tom. Obviously, you shared the conference championship with Purdue this season. Just curious, what's your favorite thing about competing against Matt Painter? And I guess you can define competing as broadly as you'd like.
Well, I love what they do. I love their program. I've loved their program since the day I got to Michigan State. You know, Judd and Gene were good friends. In fact, I text Gene right after the game, after I saw his mug on TV there. That was incredible. But Gene was one of the guys that took me under his wing. Bruce Weber is one of my closer friends in the coaching profession, and I've always had incredible respect. I recruited Matt. Just scary that I'm saying stuff like that. But I think Matt does it the right way. He's coined the same phrase that we've coined lately. You know, you got to get your kind of guy, or OKG as we call it, our kind of guy. And, you know, the job he's done this year, he'd get every vote from me as far as what he's done and how he's accomplished it with losing the guys that he's lost and yet still you know, not only winning a championship, but he's had a couple things to overcome. Not only the loss of a lot of players, but when you start out 7-6 or whatever they started out, I just think the job they've done, how hard it is to play them, the atmosphere down there, it's truly one of the jewels of college basketball in a lot of ways. And if I had to share it with somebody, I couldn't think of somebody better to share it with.
Thanks.
Your next question is from Chris Farmer, SpartanWire.com.
Coach, good morning.
Hi, Chris.
Now that we've had a little time for it to sink in, okay, everything's settled in. I know you joked last night you weren't going to watch the game film for 20.
I think he got cut off.
And we'll move on to the next question from Dylan Zan, Fort Wayne Gazette.
Hey, Coach. Just to follow up on that question about Coach Painter, you praised the way that Purdue has been able to kind of reload this year after losing four starters earlier in the season. As someone who's had to do that several times in your time at Michigan State, what's the most important thing about being able to do that? How what's the key to being able to put together good teams year after year, like?
Well, yeah, I think the culture. I think the culture that Gene Katie started and, you know, that Bruce helped him foster. Then, of course, they brought in Matt as a player, and Matt has continued the culture. I mean, you don't have that kind of success year after year unless there's culture and understanding that there is a process. Nobody understood that better than Gene. Nobody does a better job of it, you know, than Matt. I mean, you know, you get guys that like Eifert who just kind of has come through the system, you know, and we feel we've done a decent job with that here. And I think that's why he's successful. He's got guys that are in his culture, in his program, and they get better. And Klein has just gotten better. You know, those guys get better because they're there for a while. And the process is the best part of life, if you ask me. But this day and age, we're all trying to speed the process, and it usually doesn't work as good that way.
Thanks, Coach.
You're welcome.
Coach Izzo, thanks for joining us. Good luck this week.
Appreciate it, guys.
The next coach on the call is Rutgers' Steve Peichel. The Scarlet Knights are the number 12 seed in the upcoming tournament. Rutgers will play number 13 seed Nebraska on Wednesday night at 5:30 to open the tournament. Coach Peichel, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, everybody.
Coach, can you start us out with an opening thought on your season thus far, and then we'll open it up to the media for questions.
First, I want to congratulate Coach Izzo and Michigan State and Coach Painter and Purdue winning the league champs. It's tremendous by both programs, obviously, I think by far the best year since I've been in the league from top to bottom. So to win the league in this kind of year really says a lot about those two programs and about those two coaches. So I want to congratulate them. And, we ended last night the season, and now our new season begins with Nebraska, you know, obviously a team that has very good talent. And, I liked our season this year. We've made some strides. We've got a long way to go, but I'm excited about the tournament.
If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one. Your first question is from Keith Sargent, NJ.com.
Hi, Keith.
I was wondering if you could comment a little bit further on Issa's arrest. I guess the question would be, how has it impacted your team? And do you expect Issa to be suspended for the duration of the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, I mean, he's suspended indefinitely, and, you know, that's where it is right now. It's with the courts, so I don't really have a lot to say about it. And we have many obstacles this year, and it's just another one we have to fight through.
And I guess from a basketball perspective, Geo Baker, tough two games, last two games. How do you expect him to bounce back? I know he bounced back. He kind of hit the wall last year and then had a really big Big Ten tournament. Do you expect the same, or are you concerned about that?
No, I mean, Gio's really good. He played great last year in the tournament. He's an important player for us. You know, he's still young, too, as a sophomore, and you know, teams certainly key in on him. I expect him to play great. He did last year, and he's played great for us this year. So we got to get him back on, you know, back on the right track, and we will. And he's a great kid. He's coachable, and he works. He's been terrific. So I expect him to be terrific for the tournament.
Thanks, Steve.
You got it. Thank you.
Your next question is from Jerry Carino, Gannett, New Jersey.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Morning.
Wanted to ask you first about the last 2 years. You've gotten the team to really push the reset button for the Big Ten tournament and kick it up a notch. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, I mean, you have to do it again. I mean, it's so different. You know, the tournament is so different. You can learn from mistakes during the year, and you can get your guys, to bounce back from things. But this is, you know, 40 minutes, or your uniforms are being handed in. So it's a whole different, you know, perspective you have to take on this tournament. We've shown signs of being real good, and we've shown other signs, you know, we got a long ways to go. But this is now the time where you better put it together, and you better stay out of foul trouble, and you better, you know, be well prepared. And we intend to be that. And again, many challenges when you're playing in a league like this, no matter who you play. I mean, really good players in Nebraska. You know, Tim does a good job, and Palmer's a good, and Watson and Roby, they have terrific players. So, you know, we have to get a young group, some of these guys first time in the tournament, to be ready to play at a high level for 40 minutes, and we plan on doing that.
And, Steve, wanted to ask you about Caleb. He's played so well lately. What do you think of the way he's progressed, and what do you see for him going forward? What's the next step in his progression?
I mean, really excited about Caleb. You know, I'm excited about a lot of our young guys. They're, you know, inconsistent, which most young guys are. But Caleb has progressed, you know, as much as any player that I've been around in a year, from the beginning of the season to our beginning practices to now. And you know, last night, you know, being another example of, you know, does a little bit of everything, terrific swagger, playing with really good confidence, but he practices that way every day. So for a freshman, he's learned how to practice, and his practices are consistent, and his game is getting more and more consistent. And I think as his body continues to mature, he's 6'6" now. He's growing a little bit too since he got here. He's really made some tremendous strides. But I can say the same thing about Miles Johnson. I can say the same thing about Ron Harper, is making tremendous strides, and Montez Mathis. So excited about that young core group, and that's four of our seven, you know, our seven-man rotation at the, you know, beginning of game. So excited about those guys. They got to get better, and they got to continue to progress, but if they continue on that path, they're going to have exciting futures.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Aaron Brightman on the Banks.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Aaron, good. How are you today?
Very good. Obviously, you've done, as Jerry said, a great job getting the team ready the last 2 years for Big Ten tournament play. With the four freshmen this season, how much is there anything in particular you'd say to them, or how much are you going to rely on, you know, like Gio and Eugene having the experience of having success, you know, in the Big Ten tournament and kind of them kind of following their lead?
You always lean on your veterans. You know, even the last couple of years, it's been Deshaun Freeman playing great against Indiana last year. It's always your veterans that understand the urgency of a tournament setting. And so you're always going to depend on those guys, and we're going to have to just continue to educate our young guys how important, this is. This is a whole new season, and this is why I love a league like this. You could have a great regular season and get a chance to play postseason, or you could have a great tournament and have a chance to keep playing. So you got two ways to keep playing basketball in high-level leagues like this, and that's why this is so important. This is our last way to keep this season going, and we have to play with that tremendous urgency. But it's both. It's us educating the young guys, and it's our veterans educating them. And hopefully we'll do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Brian Fonseca, 24/7 Sports.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Doing well. So Nebraska's changed a bit since you played them at the rack, and they obviously lost Isaac Copeland for the year. Just what differences do you see from them from then to now, and how have you seen them adjust to not having one of their better players?
Yeah, I mean, he was hurt, a long time ago, so I think they've really gotten through that adjustment. They have really good players. I mean, Palmer's an all-league guy, obviously, as you know, coming into the year, and Watson. Roby is one of the more talented guys in the conference. I just watched the game, the other day, against Iowa, and the confidence that they played. They made threes. They're getting good minutes out of their bench guys. Their bench guys have come in and really gave them some good fiber. And, even the games that they've lost here down the stretch, they really played well. In a loss to Purdue, I watched that tape, and they've been in a lot of games. Like anything, it's a tough league, and to finish these off becomes one or two possessions. But certainly, they have good talent across the board, and they will be ready to play. So we have to play good basketball.
And just to follow up, you find out you're playing them pretty much yesterday afternoon, and then you play them on Wednesday. It's about a 2-day turnaround. How tough is it to prepare your guys for a do-or-die game with such a quick turnaround?
Yeah, I mean, you always want more preparation time, but, it's that time of the year. Our guys want to play anyways, and, you got a short period. Hopefully you can get some rest, too, in your guys, and then you got to jump on that plane. So there's obstacles in this league always, and this is going to be another obstacle, and hopefully we face many obstacles this year, short turnaround, prep time for some great games. I mean, we played an unbelievable schedule, one of the toughest in the country. We're one of the youngest teams, too, in the league. So those are just obstacles, and this is just another one, and hopefully our guys are prepared to fight through obstacles.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Coach Pikul, thanks for joining us, and good luck on Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
The next coach on the call is Wisconsin's Greg Gard. The Badgers earn the number 4 seed in the upcoming men's basketball tournament, and will play the winner of Game 4 on Friday afternoon. Coach Gard, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Can you start out with an opening statement about your team's recent play, and then we'll open it up to the media for questions?
Yeah, I think obviously it's a huge credit, as I mentioned yesterday in my press conference, to our guys and how they've responded this year and the job they've done to be able to get to fourth place and to get the double bye, when all the preseason predictions had us nowhere near this. So I've liked how they've persevered. Obviously, we've developed into a probably the conference's best defensive team, and it's been our identity, and they've embraced that and understood how important that is to our success. So looking forward to, obviously, Friday's game, knowing that no matter who it is, it's going to be another tough opponent. This league has been unbelievable this year, and like I said, I'm proud of our guys of how we've persevered to get to this point through the league as deep as it's been.
If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star 1. Your first question is from Casey Campbell, Great Lakes Post.
Hey, Greg, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good. What kind of – you talk about you have not – getting a double bye, and especially after people said you would be nowhere near this spot. What did that show in this team?
I think just how they've grown and matured and obviously used last year's experiences to make themselves better. And this group came in the year with through the whole offseason with the chip on their shoulder and something to prove. And, you know, they did a pretty good job of getting close to where they wanted to be. They wanted to win the whole league in the regular season, weren't able to do that. See, Purdue and Michigan State did a really good job. Tom and Matt done a great job with their teams, but now we're on to the second phase, and you know, our next goal is to try to win the Big Ten tournament. So, you know, I think this group has just continued to find ways. It hasn't always been the most smooth or the prettiest at times, but this league is not about being smooth or sexy or pretty. It's a toughness and grind it out type of fashion and mindset you have to play with. And I think by and large part, our group, even the games that we dropped, were right there, and we've had several that could have went the other way, and we won several that could have not gone our way. So I just like the mindset and the grittiness and the toughness of this group.
All right. Thank you, Coach, and good luck in the tournament.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Dylan Zan, Fort Wayne Gazette.
Hey, Coach. After Purdue clinched the Big Ten championship the other day, Coach Painter talked about how he modeled his – he kind of looks at Wisconsin as a model of how to be successful year after year. And I was wondering if you could speak to the job that he's done this season in replacing four starters and kind of moving on and winning a Big Ten title as someone who's had to go through that multiple times at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think Matt's done a great job. And, you know, we've talked about that even personally about how they've tried to model. You know, and I think that's more of the development, the intangibles, the things that need to be around your stars, so to speak. And I know he's talked about that several times, but he's done a really good job of bringing the younger guys along. And obviously when you have a go-to guy like Carson Edwards and Klein and guys that have been there and have been entrenched with it, then you have some newcomers come in and play well. And obviously the development of Harms has helped them. And I think Matt's done a really good job of getting what, you know, in December was – at or near a 500 team and getting them to turn the corner and continue to improve. And that's really a testament to his coaching, to you watch improvement, not where they start, but how do they incline and finish the year. And he's done a really good job with that.
Thanks, Coach.
Good.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from John Titel, Hoops.com.
Good morning, Coach. I know Ethan is still writing his legacy and has a few more games left under his belt. When you look back on his career, I don't know if you've had a chance to, like, do you get a sense of what his legacy will be at the university in the decades to come?
Yeah, I think, you know, number one, that story's still being written. I think you appreciate it more as it gets further in the rearview mirror of his career and you get past that for several years. I think he's been able to be very opportunistic. He's played on some very good teams. He's been part of a transitional period of youth and injuries we went through last year and trying to hold all that together as we grew last year. And then this year to come back as a senior and decide not to, you know, to come back for his fifth year and not to go chase the professional goals, I think is a testament to how important this university and this program were to him or are to him. And, you know, the credit goes to him for having a really good senior year. And I know for him, most importantly, having our team have a really good year. So he wanted to make sure that he left here on a really good note, and us having success was a big part of him leaving here on a good note. So he's been fun to coach, and obviously I think people gain a better appreciation of him as he gets further, as it always happens with everybody we've had here. They're never appreciated as much in the current time as they are once they're gone, and you see the impact they've had. So like I said, just appreciate all he's done for the program, and hopefully we got a lot more games with him.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad.
All right, Coach Gard, thanks for joining us, and good luck this week.
All right, thank you.
We're waiting for Coach Beilein to join us, so just bear with us for a moment. All right. The next coach on the call is Michigan's John Beilein. The Wolverines earn the number 3 seed in the upcoming Big Ten men's basketball tournament. Michigan will open play on Friday evening against the winner of Game 6. Coach Beilein, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Can you start us out with an opening statement about how your team's been playing of late, and then we'll go to questions from the media?
Well, I'm certainly not pleased the way the season ended, the regular season ended, but we were looking at a pretty good gauntlet going down the stretch, playing probably the toughest part of our schedule in the last, 3 weeks of our season. And we got through it enough to be in, to be in the championship game on the last game of the regular season. So we're making progress, but had had a couple of tough games here. Michigan State really did a great job against us. We lost, and now we got to regroup and move on to the Big Ten tournament, which we love.
If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star 1. Your first question is from John Macron, Detroit Sports Podcast Network.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead, John.
Okay. My question is, what will be the emphasis and message this week to the team, especially to help rebound the offense, which struggled against Michigan State in both of those contests?
Well, there's a lot of we're prepping for 3 teams this week. So we will learn from our last game, but we will just move forward to – try to get ready for the. We'll see 3 different defenses. We'll see 3 different offenses, and we'll try and just get better.
Your next question is from Casey Campbell, Great Lakes Post.
How's it going, John?
Good, Casey.
If Matthews doesn't come back, do you think you might change do you like the starting lineup you have now? If he does, will you put him back in? I'm just curious on that.
I think it depends. That's a good question, Casey. I think it depends how he's practicing this week before we made that decision, how many reps he can get in, whether he's comfortable, and then I'll make that decision after I see all those things.
And you've won the Big Ten tournament the past 2 years. What's it like to compete in this tournament and then have it in Chicago?
Well, it's great to have it in Chicago. There hasn't been a bad venue for us to be in. Indianapolis is such a great city too. We probably have many more alums in the Chicago area, so that's always good for us. But it's some of our fondest memories here at Michigan have been in this tournament where we won big games, Indiana 3 years ago in a 1-8 game to put us in the NCAA tournament. Then the last 2 championships winning 8 in a row, that was pretty special too. So we'd like to go in this and duplicate what we've done. It's going to be difficult.
Thanks, John, and we'll see you down at the tournament.
Thanks, Casey.
Your next question is from Andrew Kahn, M Live.
Coach Hello, the last couple of years you've talked about the advantage, or at least you've portrayed it that way, of already having played a game when you reach the quarterfinal. This year, that won't be the case. You'll be waiting, and another team will have played. Is there anything you're going to maybe try to take from the experience of actually having played a game to kind of simulate that and use it to your advantage?
I think it's pretty universal, and there's nothing you really can do. You just got to hope your team can come out there at the very beginning and not the unfamiliarity with the court and the balls and the rim and everything cannot get in the way of you know, your performance. But it does happen. You even have the late game, so there's a 25-minute period in between. And you watch those games all the time, those quarterfinal games against people, and even the second-round games where people have not played. You remember that was one of our toughest games last year in the whole tournament was Iowa after we had not played and they had. So it's not easy, and you just got to go and plow through it.
All right, thanks.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from John Tytel, Hoops.com.
Good morning, Coach. I know that a lot of freshmen seem to hit the wall around this time of year, but it seems like Ignis is not only like playing great, his three-point shooting is getting better over the last several games. Can you talk about his progression and his ability to not hit the wall but jump over it?
Well, you know, he's a strong kid. He's trained well his whole life, and he's really worked hard in practice at improving, practicing at game speed, and he's doing it all the time right now, and I think we're seeing it in his shooting. So, no, I think it has a lot to do with his body type. He's a year older than a lot of freshmen because he went an extra year of high school. And so I think all those things, plus he's got a tremendous amount of confidence. And he obviously takes care of himself off the court, and which many freshmen, they have trouble with that when they're away from home for the first time. He's lived away from home going to prep school, and so he's sort of used to it.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star one. And your next question is from Jacob James, Michigan Daily.
John, it's going to be Friday. It's going to be, I think, 12 days between or 6 days between since Michigan State, 6 days since the Maryland game. I guess is that kind of, having that kind of rest between those games, is that more advantageous or disadvantageous at this point in the season?
Yeah, that's always a great question for the coaches. How much rest do we want to get? How much do we want to stay tuned up? And it's a thing we have to balance, and you have to do it again, obviously, in the NCAA tournament. So we've been trying to do similar things and try to get to some retooling in the first couple of days and some more rest in the first couple of days, and then try to go as normally as you can into a two-day prep. But knowing that the tournament could be last couple of years, a four-day tournament or a three-day tournament, you got to be very careful on your last day of prep. It would not be as you would do in a season. So, that's the thing we're always sorting out, especially with Charles coming back from injury, with the amount of wear and tear on the guy's legs during the year. How do we rest them enough and keep them sharp? So that's our job as coaches, and sometimes you do it perfectly and sometimes you don't, and sometimes you have a plane crash and it helps you too. So it's really hard to figure out the right way to do it. You sort of go by the seat of your pants a little bit and tell you what your experience has told you.
Coach Beilein, thanks for joining us, and good luck this week.
Okay, thank you.
The next coach on the call is Ohio State's Chris Holtman. The Buckeyes earned the number 8 seed in the upcoming men's basketball tournament and will open play on Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Ohio State will take on number 9 seed Indiana. Coach Holtman, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you guys.
Can you start us off with a brief opening statement, and then we'll take questions from the media?
Okay, yeah, obviously, looking forward to this upcoming week. It's obviously a tremendous tournament. I know, as I'm sure most of the coaches have said here, it's been a grueling 20-game Big Ten schedule, terrific teams and coaches and players, and we're anxious to move forward into this week here. So Caleb Wesson will play. I'm sure that question will come up, so I just want to go ahead and answer that off top.
If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star one. Your first question is from Kevin Derman, Indiana Daily Student.
Hey, Chris, you've gotten a chance over not only your time at Ohio State, but Butler as well, to take a look at what Juwan Morgan's meant to Indiana. And as you prepare for them one final time, I guess what's maybe one or two of the hardest things to do for when you're trying to defend him, and also just what you've been able to see from him over the past couple of years while he's been a Hoosier?
Juwan Morgan, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. He's had a terrific career. I think he's one of the hardest matchups in the league, top to bottom. I think he is. He's one of those guys that you're trying to figure out how to guard him. He can do a little bit of everything. He can score inside and out. He pursues the ball in the glass as well as anybody in our league. He's just a terrific talent, and you know, Archie and his staff do a great job putting him in different positions where it's hard to defend him. But he's obviously had it sounds like a great closing stretch here. He's just a terrific player.
Your next question is from Austin, I'm sorry, John Tattell with Hoops.com. John, your line is open.
Is that me?
Hello?
Your next question is from Bill Landis, Athletic.
Hi, Chris. You've talked a lot about sort of the adjustments you had to make without Caleb and how difficult it is to sort of change up your offense in such a short window when you're so reliant on one player. I'm just wondering what the balance is when you lose somebody like that. You want to try to find a way to win games, but you also know that guy is coming back and you want your team to be able to hit the ground running when he does come back. Just how difficult was it to navigate those three games?
Yeah, it was obviously a challenge beyond the fact that we were playing good teams, and two of those were on the road, Bill. You know, it was a challenge, and I think it is different if you know he's going to come back versus not expecting him to come back. You know, then it's you're trying to do a complete overhaul if you don't expect him to come back. So, you know, we did try to tweak and change, and obviously we played without him for portions of this season, for sure. I think as much as anything, it's, you know, it's the game planning that teams can go into attacking you differently defensively when they know he's not going to be on the floor. They're obviously more attached to shooters, and different guys get more attention. And I think we noticed that for sure. And I'm not sure we always, you know, handled that as quite as well as we could have. But obviously we had some moments where we really scored the ball last night in particular. You know, him coming back now, it'll be interesting to see after a bit of a layoff, a two-week layoff here, how quickly we can, you know, get back to how we were playing when he was at full strength and when our team was at full strength.
And your press yesterday against Wisconsin, I think once you put it on there in the second half, you guys outscored them 40-19. Obviously, it fueled you guys in that particular game. Just how much is that something you feel like you guys can rely on somewhat regularly, or was that more of a matchup thing and sort of, you know, just trying to throw stuff against the wall when you're in that situation?
You know, I think it was a little more of a matchup, little more matchup driven than anything, Bill. I don't know that it's something that, you know, we plan to do, you know, as much of, you know, part of it was matchup. Part of it was, you know, they were coming down and just kind of rolling it into half, and the trapping wasn't working. The double teaming wasn't working. The digs weren't really working. So we were just trying to maybe disrupt them a little bit more once the game was getting almost out of reach. So those were the reasons more than anything, but it is something that we'll utilize for sure throughout the rest of the season.
Thanks, Chris.
Your next question is from Adam Jardy, Columbus Dispatch.
Chris, as you've seen your team adjust to a number of different things without Caleb, are there lessons that you've learned
from not having him these last three games that will still benefit you with him back on the court now?
You know, I think there are probably larger lessons. I think that all of us as a group, players, coaches, have learned, and we'll you know, visit about that, you know, once our season is completed. But in terms of, you know, kind of how our team performed and played and some lessons learned, I think as much as anything, I think, you know, when you have a situation like this, your ability to move forward and move forward quickly as games come at you in forming a little bit of a different identity is really, really important. And I think, you know, what we needed to do was be better in specific areas, and we just needed a little bit more from everyone. And I think, you know, we got that at times, but not enough.
It is one of those areas of just getting better. You guys are in the mid-100s now in turnover percentage. I know that's been a big bugaboo this season.
Yeah.
Has that been an area? Are you, these teams haven't necessarily pressed you as much as some of the teams earlier in the season, but are you seeing finally some progress
Yes.
in that area?
Yeah, we really have. Yeah, I think we really have. You're right. Some of it has been who we played, but it's also been, I think, our guys definitely have done a better job of their decision making, done a better job taking care of the ball. We've had a couple second halves where we've had, you know, one or two turnovers in the last four or five games. It's been really good, and it's been a really good thing for our young guys to have some growth in that area.
Thank you.
And your next question is from Austin Ward, Letterman Row.
Hey, Chris, there's so much talk always about Caleb with the conditioning and, you know, getting him to play a bunch of minutes. Is it a concern that he hasn't been in that sort of game shape now? I know maybe it's just three games. I don't know. But what kind of physical shape do you expect him to be on? And how has he, you know, practiced to get ready to make sure after that absence he can come out and be Caleb on Thursday?
Yeah, you know, I don't think we can expect too much, right? I think it's not like you know, I think we got to be careful not to expect too much, but obviously it's nice to have him back. Yeah, it is a concern, I think, Austin. I think anytime you have a guy who, you know, if he's off really a couple of days, we're worried about his conditioning, much less of 14 days. Having said that, trust me, he has done early morning workouts and afternoon workouts, and sometimes twice a day, both conditioning and basketball workouts throughout this stretch.
Cool. Thanks, Chris.
Sure.
Coach Holman, thanks for joining us. Good luck this week.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
The next coach on the call is Illinois' Brad Underwood. The Illini are the number 11 seed in the upcoming tournament and will take on number 14 seed Northwestern on Wednesday night. Coach Underwood, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, everyone.
Can you start us off with some opening comments and then we'll open it up to the media for questions?
Well, I think it's maybe the first time in my career that I have seen a tournament that I think could be as open to anybody. I think you're looking at the best league in the country. I think you're looking at a conference that has, you know, a week ago I got asked a question, would you rather play the bottom four or the top four? And no offense to all the guys that were at the top, but the bottom four teams in the league were playing great. And I think that's a tribute to the great coaching in this conference, that no one has lost their team. I think it's a tribute to the great, great players in this conference. You know, when you're picking an all-conference team, my goodness, it is a very, very difficult decision, and the players and the coaches are to be commended. I think it's going to be one of the it's set up to be one of the great conference tournaments in recent history, and we're excited to be a part of it.
If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star one. And your first question is from Scott Ritchie, Champaign News Gazette.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, Scott.
Stretch of the regular season, you know, you go from winning 5 of 6 to losing 5 of 6. What would you feel has maybe been the biggest difference in that second half of that?
Well, I think it's been a little bit of the opponents. I think it's been a little bit of our inconsistency again. I think that we showed signs in games where we've been really, really good. And I go back to the Northwestern game which we won, and a game that defensively we were tremendous in the first half. In the second half, we were not so good, and we've got to find that balance. Yesterday, State, we're up 1 at half and playing great, and then it's it was got away from us in the second half, and it's just been a little bit of inconsistency. It's youth, I think. Young guys adapting to a very, very long season. That's been a challenge. We've been led by 2 freshmen, and they've been great. But now we're all zero, and it's a new lease on life.
You mentioned the second half struggles there against Penn State and some other times this season. I mean, there's something to that, because it's been a little bit of a trend, you know, throughout the entire year.
Youth and experience. It's we've tried just about everything, Scott, at halftime. I mean, maybe I need to bring the disco ball in and amp up the music and talk as much X and O's. We've shortened our halftime. We've it's been one of the things that when we were winning and in our winning streak, it was not so much a problem. Again, we've, we're constantly addressing that, but I think it's just youth and some inexperience. And, it's not like it's new. It's been there from the Gonzaga game and the Georgia game, the second game of the year to throughout. So something that we've identified, it's just not as easy to correct them.
That's maybe the last thing. I mean, do you feel like you've lost any momentum after that stretch of 5 wins in 6 games that seem to have things, you know, pointed in a good direction?
Well, our opponents have a lot to do with that. Being at home has a lot to do with that. Being on the quality of the opponent you're playing. I think this is the best. And you can look at anybody throughout the course of the season. Going to have ebbs and flows and ups and downs, and last year we went at Rutgers and turn around, not so good in the tournament. So game by game, I don't look at much more than that. We played very, very good in the first half of Penn State. We shot the ball and were tremendous offense in Indiana, but it's a matter of putting those things together.
Thanks, Brad.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one. Your next question is from John Totell, Hoops.com.
Good morning, Coach. Just wanted to know, as a coach with such a young team, do you treat them all the same in terms of the fact, like, Yorgi and Ayo have come from, I think it's safe to say, very different backgrounds, but when they reach this level, like, do you coach them all the same, or is everybody a little different?
No, I think that's the great challenge of coaching. That's one of the things I enjoy the most is whether it's socioeconomics, whether it's different countries, whether it's language barriers. You have the challenge of blending those together, and that's why I love this basketball team. I mean, it's this is a group with character. They've got great passion. They have bonded together. Just the other night, we had an early morning training session, and Io and Georgie and Alan Griffin kind of had a slumber party in our locker room, and this group is fun that way and energetic. And I mean, I love going to practice because of that. And they may have grown up drastically different, but the common bond is Illinois basketball and the culture we're creating. And when I say we have an unbelievably great group of guys individually, that's not giving it justice, because we got great kids.
Okay.
Coach Underwood, thanks for joining us. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
The final coach on the call is Nebraska's Tim Miles. The Huskers earn the number 13 seed in the upcoming basketball tournament. They open play on Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. against Rutgers. Good morning, Coach Miles. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Can you start us out with an opening statement about the Huskers, and then we'll move to questions from the media?
Nebraska basketball is excited to get to Chicago. I think that this could be one of the most exciting Big Ten tournaments in recent history, and we're happy to be a part of it.
If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star one. And your first question is from Brian Forsica, 24/7 Sports.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. When you made the trip out to the rack earlier this season, Geo Baker and Montez Mathis were really the guys that carried carried Rutgers to the win. How important is that backward tandem, particularly Baker? He's had a bit of a rough week, but how important is he to the success of Rutgers?
Geo Baker's a playmaker. He can get his own shot. He makes threes. He creates for others. He's a strong athlete. The matchup we didn't have was Montez. I thought he really hurt us, and he hurt us on the offensive glass. He hurt us in transition. He hurt us in a lot of ways. That'll be an important, they have such size, but I think that those are the real key matchups as we go forward to Wednesday.
And your team's changed a bit since you played Rutgers at the rack. I know you've lost Isaac Copeland for the year since then. You've had a while to, adjust without him, but how different does that matchup become without having him in among your options?
Well, we played 6-3 and under the other night. I think we were down four starters by the end of the night. We will do whatever we have to do, put anybody on the court that we have to, and figure it out from there. So we changed some. We've got Thomas Allen is probably at best questionable. And then Isaac Copeland's obviously out for the season. And Nana Kenton, one of our backups who had some good size and strength, is off the out indefinitely. So, right now what we're doing is we're just putting our guys out there, seeing what group works really well, and letting it fly.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from John Tuttle, Hoops.com.
Hey, Coach, to follow up on the loss of Isaac, obviously everybody's a little banged up this year. The Spartans are down a couple guys, et cetera, et cetera. Is it extra painful when you have, it's one thing if Illinois's got a young team and they're just missing a freshman or two, but when you have the senior leadership and all these veterans, and it seemed like this was the season you're building towards, is it, extra painful?
What happens, in my experience, is when you've got an older group of guys, it seems like that weight of expectation does put a little more pressure or disappointment on a team when you do have an injury that's vital to you. And it took us, it's taken us too long to recover from that. You put different guys in different roles a little bit. They're a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. And because as an older guy, you're used to what you've done, and there's a certain sync and synergy to the way things are going. And younger teams usually say, oh, this is the way it works, and they just figure it out. Your older guys are like, I don't like the way this feels. I don't, and so that you might get a little more resistance as you put them in different roles, not in a bad way, but just in a human nature way.
All right, Coach Miles, thanks for joining us, and best of luck
on
Wednesday.
Thanks, man. See ya.
See ya. That completes the 2019 Big Ten Conference Coaches Teleconference. We'd like to thank the coaches and media for joining us today and throughout the season. The Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament begins on Wednesday, March 13th at the United Center at 5:30 Central. Thanks for your coverage of Big Ten basketball, and have a wonderful day.